Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Daryl Loomis.
Hi.
And Eric Astroslager.
Hello.
And briefly, Mr. Michael Staley.
Very sick, Michael Staley.
He's very sick. He's uploading reviews. He's grinding away. But we're going to go right to Michael, just because I thought he could share just a couple of brief film experiences he had recently. A lot of films that we've talked, some superstar films mentioned on this podcast, but I thought we'd get a fresh take. So, Michael, I'll let you talk, and then I'll let you go.
Well, so Dave and Carrie allowed me to experience, first off, Silver Dream Racer.
Ah, yes.
At least the end of Silver Dream Racer.
Which is all you really need.
The original ending, I should say the Americanized version, and then the original ending, which is so bizarre, comes out of nowhere and has no justification for existence, but it is probably the most bizarrely entertaining climax to a film I've ever seen.
I mean, greatest alternate ending, period, don't you think? I mean,
easy.
Ever? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, the tonal shift. I mean, it's such... I think we've talked about this. We'll spoil Silver Dream Racer. Mac, you're there. I just dialed you in. You in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nice.
Hi.
All right. We're just talking some Silver Dream Racer, which I showed to Michael recently. But obviously, the American version, it's basically Beau Bridges is in it, I think, right? And it's an all-American or all-Australian, I guess, motocross film. And the American version ends with our hero crossing the finish line, arms above his head, everybody cheering, fade to black.
Yep.
And then the original version goes a little further. There's a little more.
There's a little more mythology. But it makes no sense. It's not like he had a blowout or anything like that.
He just loses his balance because he's not holding his
handlebars. He over-celebrated and then dies in a horrible, fiery explosion.
And it is horrible.
It is.
Like slow-mo. I mean, that's what makes it. Because they just, like, the camera just drinks in the misery. I mean, it's just slow motion. There's a little mannequin on there, so that adds to the graphicness. There's slow shots of the gasps of horror in the crowd, right? And then everything explodes in a ball of flame and fade to black as other motorcycle riders drive by his flaming.
Now, did M. Night Shyamalan make this before or after Sixth Sense?
I think it was just before. It was a student film, so yeah.
Just ending.
Yeah, twist ending. So I'm glad you're able to experience Silver Dream Racer.
Yes, but I have to say, the more interesting experience was Miami Connection.
Yes, Miami Connection.
Especially the reunion concert for Dragon Sound.
So again, as a reminder, that's a film, several months, a decent way, Alamo Drafthouse film that crossed my threshold a few months ago. I know, 80s, real low budget, but they take themselves pretty seriously.
Extremely seriously.
So, the refresher, motorcycles on ninjas, and part of the cocaine trade, our hero Dragon Sound, a band comprised of international orphans who all live together and have no money in the bank.
Socially conscious.
Their big plan is to go on a tour to each orphan's country of origin.
Right.
and do a concert to spread peace and taekwondo.
The love of taekwondo. This is how we will save the world from taekwondo.
Right. And then one of the characters, Jim, realizes that his father is indeed actually alive. And ironically enough, Michael, this was another example of a really wacko alternate ending.
That's true. That's right.
That's right. Because
a horrible death
in the original one. The drug dealing ninjas who get dragged into this ridiculous feud. That's all. The violence escalates from the simple fact that the original house band got bumped for the orphan Dragon Sound band, and
What a bunch of jerks.
They just kept escalating into this amazing violence, and they brought these ninjas in. But this one guy, Jim, he's one of the orphans. Dad is alive. He's coming to meet him in the airport, but they get intercepted by ninjas. He dies in the car, and the last scene is they look up as a plane lands, and they say, "That's Jim's father. fade to black.
Oh, my
wow.
God. And what I love is that Dragon Sound's new lead female singer,
yes.
her brother is the 1960s G.I. Joe with Kung Fu Grip.
That's right. He looks exactly like him. It's him.
But he is the crime lord, the co-runner of the ninja gang.
Yeah. Don't you think he's anything better than Pusher Out? Like, these guys go to tech community college, I think.
Their little gym that they work out in dance at.
I mean, And the music.
Oh, my God, it's horrid.
Friends Forever.
Where's it from?
What's what?
When's it from?
When it was made?
Yeah.
80s at some point.
1983, 84 or something. Yeah, it's totally of its time.
Totally of its time, but highly.
Good for it.
I mean, right up there with Gymkhana and Psycho Kickboxer, you know, and all the superstar files.
Oh, this is screaming for a cinematic Titanic interpretation.
Probably.
Seriously.
Probably.
You got to pass that along to Trace Ballou and have this guy do this thing.
I mean, that is a stocking stuffer right there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you have to experience it because half the time you need subtitles because the lead Asian character, yes. You cannot understand a word he's saying.
Not a word. Yeah, we had these subtitles. And actually, you want the subtitles on for the music, right?
That's right, to learn the lyrics.
Yeah, you really want to learn the lyrics of Against the Ninja. They're hot.
Oh, that's hot take.
So, Eric, that's right. Play your cards right. You might get a taste of the Miami
Oh, man.
This weekend.
You have to.
You're gonna be in the in Miami, Miami of New Hampshire.
Miami of New Hampshire is the Miami of New Hampshire. It is indeed.
You have to wear your tank tops and your cutoff jean shorts.
Way ahead of you.
Nice. Well, very good, Mike. I'm glad that you were a good sport that we subjected you. And actually, we were gonna try to watch a decent movie, but the Netflix bandwidth crapped out on us, so we defaulted.
I don't know if you can call anything with Jake Gyllenhaal a decent movie.
Yeah, we're going to watch End of Watch. You guys seen that?
I've not seen it, no.
Yeah, okay. Because I heard good things about it, but we couldn't make I was pulling in a solid 0.7 megabits, so it wasn't doing it for us. But all right, well, Michael, you are free to go and continue to suffer through the evening. So
I will edit your Sadako review.
Yes, Sadako, coming soon. Correct. I'll talk about that. That's a good tease. Great segue.
Yeah. Good night, gentlemen.
See you, Mike.
Good night.
Have a good night.
All right. So, adios, Michael. Daryl, what have you been up to?
Really not a whole lot. I finished Arrested Development and then watched it a second time.
Oh, wow. All right.
Season 4. And I feel like those first few episodes that are really confusing.
Yeah.
Make a whole heck of a lot more sense.
They do.
Watch it the second time.
We were watching Michael's over. We were just testing the Netflix stuff. We watched the first 5 minutes of the first episode. And just right away, it's like, everything kind of clicks.
And I think it winds up working a lot better as far as the way Arrested Development's always worked, as far as multiple viewings are more rewarding than the first viewing.
Right, inside jokes. Absolutely.
Inside jokes are all there, and the all the little things are there. So, you know, it's that. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
All right. So, so overall, Arrested Development is what do you land on it after two?
Absolute
things?
Thumbs up.
Absolute thumbs up. All right.
The finale set up the perspective movie really well, answered everything that had happened in the show, and opened up a bunch of new things that the movie theoretically will tackle. And I laughed as much as I could have hoped for.
All right.
So, you know.
And I still maintain that It Gets Better is one of the top five Arrested Development episodes, period. I mean, it was...
Yeah,
I was laughing pretty hard at that. So,
although
there's a lot of pedophile jokes, which is a little hard.
Although Senioritis, I think might be my favorite episode of the fourth season, the maybe episode.
Okay, the maybe episode. I will have to revisit that. So nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and actually, on the second go around, did you notice a lot of they really threw a lot of those Easter eggs, right? Like glimpses of characters in each other's shows.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah, so you would wind up seeing like. 2 or 3 seconds of something that you'd get 3 or 4 minutes of,
right?
6 or 7 episodes later, and I will say, as far as the maybe episode, the description of why George Michael is a horrible kisser.
Yes, that's great. That's right. That's great.
Done in 3D computer animation is really brilliant.
Yes. Excellent. All right, Eric.
We finished Arrested Development tonight, actually, and I agree. I won't dwell on it too much, but yeah, definitely a thumbs up for the season. Speaking of pedophiles.
Oh boy.
not a transition we use very often. I watched, sat down on Netflix watching that British show Falcone a couple weeks ago for a review, got me in the mood to check out some more British crime series. So, I watched the first 5 series of Prime Suspects, which I'd seen some of before, but it's kind of this, great classic series, so I watched it. And, it really does seem like, and this isn't true for every single episode, but it seems like those British crime shows always come down to like a ring of like politically connected pedophiles.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
It's insane.
I think that's an astute point. As someone who has consumed an unhealthy amount of British crime, it does seem to default to that, doesn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, like, it doesn't always. If you've ever seen the Red Riding trilogy, like that's
exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, that trilogy just like has almost nothing to redeem it and make it you feel good at the end. It just like makes you feel horrible all the way through. But at least with something like Prime Suspect, you often see some sort of justice. And not every single one of the cases has to do with that, but man, it comes up a lot. But I do like the format of this show. Each series was basically 2 episodes, 2 kind of like feature length movie episodes, so about 3.5 hours total, which is a good length. It's a kind of the right length to fully flesh out a story. So it's longer than one movie, so you get more time to let the story unfold. But it's way shorter than like a 13 episode TV season, so you don't have all like the subplots and padding and stuff that you get kind of too often on those kind of shows. So I enjoyed it. I mean, Helen Mirren's great. The first 5 seasons basically go through the 90s era, and then apparently they did two more that in like the 2000s. So I haven't seen those yet, but kind of got sucked into that. That was my guilty pleasure.
All right.
Guilty crime drama. It's good stuff. I don't know if you want to talk at all about E3 stuff or if that's.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead?
We're going to begin a little bit. I mean, this is the big Electronic Entertainment Expo video game stuff going on.
Although you shared a link on my Facebook page to a product that has me excited more than anything I saw.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if that is indicative.
I'll hype that up.
I don't know, but.
No. Yeah, I'll hype that up too. Yeah. So you got the PS4, the Xbox One, the new consoles coming out this fall, and there's a lot of back and forth, and the games all look very pretty, and there's a lot of back and forth about who allows what used games and whose has to have online connections for what, and in the end, I'll wait until they're cheaper, and I'm sure I'll enjoy games on both of them, and we'll all forget this nonsense now. But the system that we're really excited for. And I'm starting to see some things coming out of E3 about it.
Good.
Is a company called Hyperkin, and they make these essentially like new hardware that plays old cartridges, old video game cartridges. And they've done a few of these, and they've been kind of varying degrees of successful because in the past they used a technology that was essentially trying to replicate the hardware of the old systems by putting on a chip. So they'd come out with one that would play like NES cartridges, and they'd sort of back into the chip and the software that you have to use to run it, and for certain titles it wouldn't work well. And they're putting out their 4th one of these consoles, although they ended up calling it 5. This is the Retron 5 or Retro N5, I'm not sure which is a bit of hardware that will play cartridges from 9 different video game systems.
Yes. What's the most recent? So
what's recent? So it's NES, Super NES, Famicom, Super Famicom, Genesis, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. Game Boy Advance is probably the newest one.
Okay, so it's it doesn't get into like your N64s or anything, right?
Neo Geo is like giant cartridges for a video game thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure they probably make a product that will play those things. This is enough. So you have you plug the cartridges into it. It uses apparently like a form of Android to emulate the software, so it can be updated and improved over time.
So you're actually inserting your old cartridges into it.
Correct.
I see.
Yep. So yeah, you stick in your cartridge, You can play the game with an HDMI connection to your TV and plugs on the thing for your old video game controllers, or these Bluetooth controllers you're going to put with it. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it. There's save states for the games, which is pretty cool.
What have people said about video quality, like AV quality?
Seems like pretty good. They have, I think, a bunch of different options for how the videos output. And they have some of their own filters that, according to their own website and the screenshots they show, seem to kind of make it look pretty nice. So we shall see.
I'll tell you this much. Like, this is why I'm excited. Because I remember when the console wars were like wars, right? Super Nintendo and Genesis. And you could not afford both of them. I could not afford both of them, you know?
There weren't games that came out for both.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I was a Genesis guy, so I never played any like Super Nintendo stuff. So, you know, sign me up. I'm ready. Like I've been craving the 16-bit action anyway. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty fired up. So
yeah, this is good. I mean, my NES is finicky at best. Like, yeah. I have you know, not a ton of cartridges, but I have enough that I want to go back and play games. Like, I want to play Battletoads and DuckTales and games that won't ever show up on a virtual console somewhere.
Right.
And I want to be able to plug them into my TV, and I want to be able to... And apparently this thing's supposed to come out, they're hoping by the end of the summer, for less than $100.
That's great.
Which is way, you know... That's five Xbox Ones. No. That's five... That's one-fifth.
One-fifth of an Xbox One.
One-fourth
of a PS4, yes.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I will be buying that before... Obviously before, but I mean, this would probably be the first generation that I'm not I'm going to really just wait around.
Yeah, I'm not super thrilled. Until there's a game that I really feel like I have to play.
I mean, I got to tell you, like, even, like, there's a bunch of, like, 360 stuff I could get to, you know, that I haven't even gotten to. I mean, to be honest, so, and those are just getting cheaper and cheap. Like, I got a brand new Halo 4 for $16, you know, so... I will be content with that stuff for a while, and I'll just we'll see what happens, because there's so many questions, I think, you know, and...
Probably until the final Dragon Age game, comes out.
Yeah.
That's probably when I'll break down.
I mean, I will say that there's, like, you know, I mean, the Xbox One has a lot of drawbacks for me, and it's price prohibitive, but there are games that seem to have been piped out of my id, you know, like Killer Instinct, okay? I just sat down last night and played Killer Instinct at the N64, which is so blurry, it's like you're playing with cataracts, but I still love it so much. So a next-gen version of that is awesome. Dead Rising 3 next version, that's one of my all-time favorites. That ridiculous Rome game is right up my alley, but there's just too much. I just got to wait and see. I can't.
Yeah, it's probably not literally true. I feel like I have enough games that I own that I haven't played to last me for... the next 5 years. Like, at the rate I actually play games, I own so many games. between like, discs I picked up cheap, between, like, all these old, like, cartridges that I own, and, like, all, like, I'm a member of, like, of a PS Plus membership, so I have, like, this library of all these games that I can sit down and play at any moment. That,
yeah, now Xbox is pushing out free games, too, so, I mean. So I will be content for a while, and to be honest, like, stuff's looked good, but as far as, like, whoa, this looks so amazingly good.
Yeah.
The old jump from the N64 to the Dreamcast type of thing, you know, that's not, I'm not seeing that quite yet. So
considering we're both itching to go back to 16-bit graphics, I guess
that's probably not our wheelhouse.
Not our draw. Right? So,
anyway. All right, yeah. All right, there you go. Mac.
More video game talk for me.
Good.
I have just been hooked on BioShock Infinite.
Yes, that has been on my radar for a while. That seemed interesting, and then it just kind of dropped off. So please convince me on it.
It's so good. It's just amazing. It's just like blown my mind. You know, the gameplay, it's the first-person shooter thing. You're going around this sort of magical, wondrous city, and you're killing everybody before they kill you, of course. And you're given, like, a partner / sidekick / love interest with this character, Elizabeth. And it's great because you've got a virtual character following you around, but she's never annoying, never gets in the way. So they actually work those bugs out. So it's, like, it's really awesome that Elizabeth is following you around in your adventure instead of, like, annoying or, like, you want to get rid of her. She really makes the game. But then you get more and more into the game, and you know you're shooting and killing everybody, and then the story takes these just radical, just mind-bending twists that I can't even explain. But it goes into such unexpected places that I'm just fascinated with the game right now, and I'm barreling towards the end. I haven't finished it yet, so no spoilers. But just the story, it's just so fascinating and it's so engrossing that this game has taken up all of my headspace over the last couple of days.
Oh, all right, very good.
I will say this though, that I committed the unforgivable sin of the video gamer, the one thing that a gamer should never ever ever do.
Shave.
I'm playing it on easy mode.
You know what though? I will say this much. I have heard, for story-based games, like, that is so much. I think that is okay. I will, like.
I do it.
If you just want to see the story, right?
I'd much rather just get through a story and not lose momentum and feel like I don't want to get,
I've done that too, or if I run a game, right? I don't know. Why?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to me, only if you're talking, like, Ninja Gaiden, where, who gives a crap about the story? The experience is surviving the onslaught, right? That's it. So, but yeah, don't feel bad, Mac. It's okay. It's okay.
But it's an awesome game. It's. I hope they stick the landing, but I bet they will. So.
All right. I got nothing else to add except I am unhealthily pumped for Man of Steel. So, this will be air on Friday. Me and my dad are catching it at the 11 o'clock show. Got my tickets reserved already. I am just psyched crazy. So I've been listening to the soundtrack. Just so for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason this movie just got me super, super pumped.
Who did the soundtrack, do you know?
Zimmer. Hans Zimmer did. But it's different. It's totally different. It's super, it's like really percussion heavy, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. I'm just, word of mouth, at least from, reviewers that I tend to trust and seem to jibe my taste is, got me even more hyped. So, yeah, that's it. It's been a while, actually. I can't remember the last movie, to be honest, that I was, just counting down the days to see. So, yeah. At least probably Dark Knight Rises and...
Yeah,
probably. I think, right? I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like...
Hobbit?
I am psyched for the next Hobbit, but when I went into it, Mac, it was kind of, like, out of duty. But I came away loving it. Like I said, it's my favorite last year, so... I really felt duty bound. I went with a buddy of mine who's, big Tolkien guy. We saw Lord of the Rings movies. I said, okay, I just got to get this over with. But no, and now I like, and that, right, have you guys seen the second trailer for the Desolation of Smog?
Yep. Yeah.
Which that sounds like a Slayer song. so, but yeah, so I'm, sign me up again. I'm into it. So, all right, that's all I got. So let's stuff we got for the site. We'll go lightning round here, gentlemen. Eric, why don't you go first?
This past week I reviewed the Mad Max trilogy on Blu-ray. The first time I'd ever seen the original Mad Max, which is, a pretty decent little exploitation movie that's kind of barely post-apocalyptic, but it's got some cool chase sequences. It's definitely the Road Warrior definitely fulfills all of what they were trying to do in the first one, and that's been by far the best of those movies, and a really great action movie.
Would you say the Road Warrior is the Miami of apocalyptic movies?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to raise up Miami that much. We're really using Miami as the benchmark for greatness.
I think Road Warrior, by the way, is pretty much a perfect B movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it has, if you judge action scenes by the practicality and the amount of danger they place their stunt people into, that final half-hour chase scene is top five in my book, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I watched those two, and then Beyond Thunderdome, which I hadn't seen in a long time, I'd basically forgotten the last two-thirds of that movie. When I watched it as a kid, I basically remembered everything through Bartertown, and then I remembered nothing, which is probably just as well. It's okay, but it's not... I think it doesn't quite anywhere close to Road Warrior.
Yeah.
It's definitely the most quotable of the movies by far, but I don't know. It sort of felt like the alien resurrection of the trilogy. Like, it's stylish and it kind of tries to do a few new things,
but it kind of misses the point on what made the other movies good. So
it's got the most female musicians.
Yeah. Tina Turner, yeah.
Tina Turner.
Yeah, she is definitely in it.
She's definitely in that movie.
Dress made out of chainmail.
Nice. All right, Daryl.
Most of my stuff, the stuff that I've been reviewing for the site lately, has been a lot of old stuff. But two stand out as a couple of the as featuring a couple of the most villainous women that we can you'll ever see. The first is 1934's Of Human Bondage, that is pretty famous, starring Bette Davis in probably her first big role. That's fun and kind of mean. But the second one is 1945's Leave Her to Heaven with Gene Tierney, who is – and it is one of genuinely the most sadistic movies that I've seen, at least during the Code era. She watches a little boy drown and gives herself an abortion all in one movie.
Oh, good Lord.
Jeez.
And it was approved. And it was famous. Wow. It was successful. But she is, I did this one, Leave Her to Heaven, a couple of weeks ago. The Blu-ray was fantastic. Really gorgeous Technicolor, and extremely dark. So all recommendations for Leave Her to Heaven.
All right. Matt, can you top that?
Not quite. Well, I guess depends on your tastes. I just finished up a review of some more classic Doctor Who. It's from 1971. It's the third Doctor.
So is the Doctor Who the new Ben 10 in your life?
Well, I grew up with watching Doctor Who, so I discovered it like when I was 11 and gotcha. I was hooked ever since. This one, you know, in order to keep the costs down on the already low budget show, they throughout the third Doctor's era, he was spending a lot of time on Earth and not time traveling and not going to other planets. So this episode, it's basically like a 70s cop show, except that instead of a 70s cop, it's the Doctor running around like doing cop stuff. So that was different, but it was, I don't know, it was pretty good for what it was, but not really one of his best.
All right. For me, it's Sadako, Michael Manson, just a Japanese horror film. I don't know, very Ring-like. It might fit in the mythology, but I was too lazy to look it up on Wikipedia, so apologies.
I looked it up. I found out what the connection is.
What is it?
The person who wrote the novel Ringu wrote the novel for Sadako.
So that's what it says. It says from the writer of The Ring,
Sadako. Yeah, it's from the novel writer. It has nothing to do with the movies at all.
Yeah, and then it says the terrifying conclusion. But, I mean, there's like – they're really pushing it out because there's a ring. There's the Samara-looking girl. I mean, it's –
yeah, but you know when you look
at – she crawls out of a well, all that
when
stuff.
When you look at all that J-horror stuff, I mean –
it is all the same. True.
The same guy wrote Dark Water and he wrote – I guess he also apparently wrote the novelization for the American Ring. This guy Koji Suzuki, so apparently he's got a thing, and that's what he writes.
All right, he's got a thing for the ring. So I don't know. So J horror too. I mean the Sadako person who crawls out of the well is kind of she's got giant praying mantis legs, so she really walks weirdly and stuff. But the last half hour is just a chase through a warehouse, so not a lot of jump scares. I don't know.
There's a sequel coming out.
Awesome. All right.
Did you just say it was the final confrontation?
It was, and now it's another one.
The really final one. All right. Mac, take us onward.
Sure. Let's take a look at what's coming up next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you at home can follow along. We're going to go to DVDRedic.com, click on the tab for the upcoming releases. There, we'll scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for June 25th.
Let's see what's on here. The one on here that's continuous from the last conversation is The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Oh, wait, are we on June 25th? Wait. June 18th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a week ahead. Time traveled.
Yes, you did. June 18th. June 18th. Sorry. Continue, Daryl.
The Last Exorcism 2, which I haven't seen, but I will because I'm an idiot.
It's The Last Exorcism Part 2.
Part two, yes.
Right. If you said Last Exorcism 2, then it just doesn't make sense.
No, of course. So the beginning, the end of The Last Exorcism was a part, and I genuinely liked The Last Exorcism, but the ending made no sense. It didn't seem like it was a setup for a sequel, but clearly it was. And that's what we have here. And I will see it, because again, I'm a fool.
You are a fool. Well, I got a quick little bonus update too. We still got our HBO subscription thanks to Game of Thrones, and first time I saw this preview for a new HBO series created and starred by Stephen Merchant. So that'll be interesting. And I don't think Gervais has anything to do with it. Hello Ladies, it's called. There's just one little clip. It was pretty funny, but that will be interesting to see. See who's got what humor, you know, who owns which part of the humor in that duo. So that's all. But Burt Wonderstone is out already?
Yeah, I was just noticing that. Wasn't that just like last month, the month before?
I mean, really?
It was like,
yeah.
I don't think that's Steve Carell's film career has also a sparkling start with that, I guess. But
we got The Howling on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Howling on Blu-ray. Life Force on Blu-ray, which is not a good movie, but probably I'll buy it.
Okay.
Because once again...
Yeah, so it's
an
so
old
bad,
favorite.
It's
one of the most ridiculous movies you're gonna see. It's part action, part vampires, part science fiction. It's got a little bit of everything.
Hey, this movie 43 thing, isn't that like legendarily awful?
It seems like it.
Yeah. That's what
wasn't
said,
that
was
that
really
the word
bad.
Of mouth? Yeah, just like even though it's like.
Not only have I heard nothing good about that movie, I haven't heard anything that wasn't just like avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, right. I mean, I just remember being, wow, that is harsh.
Yeah.
Like even like every one of those pictures on this grid just looks like Photoshop crap too. Yeah. It's like oh, it's the outrageous edition too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yes. There's H.G. Wells' Things to Come, which is a really interesting movie.
Yeah.
From whatever, 1938 or something like that. That's good old style science fiction.
I wonder how the restoration of that's going to look, because when I watched that years ago, the tape was not so good. So hopefully it's been restored, because really great visuals in that.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for the year, especially for the era.
All right. I guess the last one would be Jack the Giant Slayer.
Jack the Giant Slayer, yeah.
I thought that came out already, I guess.
What's that?
I thought it came out on Blu-ray and DVD already.
You know, I get that confused with Oz, the Great and Powerful. So
yeah.
And apparently, as you go up in level of disc type, the covers become more scary.
That's a good point.
That's
nice.
Right.
Yes. That's right. Jack the Giant Slayer 4K has him devouring Jack. Nice. All right.
The giant's hand is very cleverly placed in that it's blocking a huge spoiler in the movie, so that's very clever.
Yeah, very good.
Of course, it's not blocking the fact that Jack has no personality.
It does look like first one is for kids of all ages. The second one is for edgy preteens. And the third one is for people like Daryl.
But people like me aren't fooled.
Says the guy who's buying Life Force.
That's right.
Yeah, I know what I'm getting into.
Life Force is awesome.
I didn't mean to lump Life Force together. The Giant Slayer. I just sort of left and right that very clear. Toby Hoop is great.
Okay, inadvertently sleazy sound indeed release of the week. Daryl, why don't you go first?
I'm going with Come Out and Play.
Good. Eric?
Similar vein, Things to Come.
Very good. Mac?
I don't know. Stoker? I got nothing.
Okay. I go with Little Einstein's Incredible Shrinking Adventure. Okay, ambush topic time. You know this works. We'll blast through this and send you on your weekend. Mac, why don't you go first?
Okay. Topic is when the villain makes a grand entrance.
Grand entrance. Well, I just saw the trailer for the sequel to this movie. So they just had the trailer for the new 300 movie, which I thought was coming out later this year, but it's coming out in March. But regardless, Xerxes in the first 300 movie, He gets his entrance is about as ostentatious as you can get.
Yes.
If you remember, a giant Macy's Day float being carried by by slaves and ornate and all that. So yeah, he's not a subdued gentleman.
Although it's a bit of a fake out, the Penguin's entrance in Batman Returns is pretty memorable. After all, the circus freaks attack the little tree lighting celebration, then he comes up in his big rubber ducky car to save the child.
And good point. And he has another great entrance in that movie where he blasts up through the ballroom, right?
Yes.
Like, sends people flying. And he's got a great exit, too. Let's not forget about his exit. He's, as he bleeds Bic ink from his mouth.
That's a dark movie.
That is a dark movie. That is not a movie for kids of all ages. That is disturbing. That is Batman lighting bad guys aflame with his Batmobile. And enjoying it, actually. Seemingly enjoying it. So, yes.
I just finally got around to seeing the Masters of the Universe movie.
Dave. Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, wow. I saw it was on your Facebook page. I didn't know it was the first time you'd seen it.
Yeah, I finally seen it.
I would have octode rectified that a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a baffling movie. I have a lot of questions.
No, wait, okay, did you see Pig Boy?
I was looking for Pig Boy, and I guess he came and went pretty quick.
He's blinking, you miss it, but he's in. Yeah. My friend. Pig Boy.
I thought he was at the very beginning, but then I was reading about the movie, and he shows up in a later scene.
He does show up later. Yes.
It was in the very beginning when I was looking for.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, I have tons of questions I could ask about this movie, but
I'd be happy to answer them. Now's the time.
We're gonna stay. Okay, what is so great about Castle Grayskull? Everyone's talking about Castle Grayskull this, Castle Grayskull. What's so great about it?
Like, according to that movie's mythology?
You know, Skeletor says, I want Grayskull. I must have Castle Grayskull. But we never know, told
as
why
a,
he wants
little
Castle
porthole
Grayskull.
Porthole opens up there, and you get all the power of the universe, according to that film. According to, like, the cartoon, I don't know, there's like power in it, I guess. But they never
yeah, it's where the power of He-Man's generated, yeah. And where whatever her name is.
The Sorceress. But it's more or less a MacGuffin. But for that one, it's like, that's where you get a face full of cosmic energy and get turned into King Tut.
So, oh, right.
You know, I think MacGuffin's one of my favorite Masters of the Universe characters.
Yes! Yeah, MacGuffin and Ram-Man teamed up.
I remember that cartoon. Yeah,
they kept chasing after
him. Episode.
Yeah, what is MacGuffin's his power? He just keeps chasing after an object and never catches it. Well, I'm glad you watched it. Did you enjoy the Octode Rectifier scene?
I did.
Yeah,
yes.
One of the great, like, when they built a transdimensional portal jumper with like three pieces of crap they had on their armbands. I think.
Yeah, just randomly stuck to their armor. But the topic at hand is the great villain entrance, and boy, Skeletor knows how to enter a room, doesn't he?
He does. Yes.
You know, he comes marching into the room. Just the light is always behind him, so he looks really imposing. And when he shows up on Earth, he too is riding on the Macy's Day float.
Yes, with
that gigantic ship.
Not a soul in sight in that residential neighborhood.
No, he's this giant battleship with just him standing on the top of it, and it's just floating down this, you know, suburban street.
That's right. I mean, it shows up in a development, you know, and there's nobody there. So yeah, and the cops don't show up until well after that neighborhood's been nuked. And that.
You got James Tolkien though as the cop. You know, Mr. Yeah. Strickland from Back to the Future.
That's right. Yeah,
he steals the whole movie away from everybody else.
Kubrick, and he speaks to himself. He refers to himself in the third person.
Yeah.
Nobody takes shots at Lubick. That's what he says.
Picks up that shotgun in the end and goes to town. He took out more bad guys than He-Man did.
He did.
Now, am I misremembering this, or is Courtney Cox eager to move to New Jersey?
Eager to move to New Jersey?
Isn't that her plan? Like, she wants to leave Texas. Is she there in Texas? She,
yes,
and you're in New Jersey.
Correct. Yeah, she.
Right. Yes.
I'm trying to remember why, because she's an orphan. Maybe she's moving in with the dragon sound.
That'd be awesome.
Wait, does that take? So wait, so Miami Connection takes place in New Jersey?
I think it's like the. It takes.
To be fair, New Jersey is the Miami of
New Jersey is the best.
Miami of the Northeast. I can say that with confidence.
That's right. New Jersey is the Miami of the 50 states, for sure. All right. So, okay, I'm glad we talked about Masters of the Universe.
Daryl, if you haven't thought of something by now.
I got it figured out.
Okay.
No, I had it. I just had to figure out how it worked. It was the reveal in the new Doctor Who of the professor turning into the master.
Oh, sure.
Which was, you know, and I don't know if maybe I was just being dumb, but I didn't expect when that whole episode started, the end of time episode started, for that to actually become an episode of the Master, and I was real impressed, and I was what's his name, John Sims,
mm-hmm.
who plays it. I was real impressed with his charisma as the Master, as opposed to say the one in the series you reviewed. Where it's just a guy with a British accent and a goatee.
Right. Dressed all in black. Yeah, that's all you need to be evil. Yeah.
No, this guy is like a charismatic jerk and really worked on me. I was really happy with that.
All right. Good topic, Mac. Well played. And mainly because we got to talk about Masters of the Universe. Okay, I'll go next. Bears.
I'm going to go with Fred Willard's very weird Saturday Night Live recurring kind of sketch, Bear City.
I missed that one.
I haven't seen it either.
it's a strange Fred Willard piece of Fred Willard humor.
I don't even know what that means.
Did you ever see his show with Robert Mole?
Yeah, Fernwood Tonight.
Yes, it's very much like that. Basically, it's a very dry piece of humor where some kind of nuclear reaction or whatever has killed all the people, and bears have taken the place of humans. And it's just a bunch of idiots in bear suits doing human things. But for some reason, because I'm an idiot apparently, it makes me laugh as much as anything during that era of Saturday Night Live ever did, especially there was one bit where a mom walked in, a mom bear walked in on a son bear watching National Geographic bears going at it, and you had the clear play of what goes on, and it's Bear City.
All right.
And it's phenomenal.
Thank you.
All right.
Bear City.
I think I'll go with Fozzie Bear in any one of the Muppet
good
movies.
Sure.
Probably the most gentle bear in cinema, I would think.
Yeah.
The most least terrifying bear, we'll say.
Certainly. And then the Muppets Take Manhattan, there's a sequence and all the Muppets go their separate ways, and he ends up trying to hibernate in a cave with other bears.
Yes, that's right.
Those were like real bears.
Real bears, right?
Yeah, real bears. Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been much happier in Bear City.
He would have been happier in Bear City.
It's not the way you described it, I think we all would. So.
I have a guess as to what yours might be, Dave, so I won't steal yours.
No, steal it, because you won't guess it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Ooh, that sounds like a challenge.
Because we've talked about it before on the podcast.
Now, go.
It's The Edge with Anthony Hopkins.
That's a great one. That's not mine, but continue.
Oh, okay, good. Whew, yeah. That's a really scary bear in that one. That bear's just a killing machine.
That's Bart the Bear, who also made an appearance in Game of Thrones, by the way. So.
Oh, no way. He's still around?
That is – Bart the Bear has got – Bart the Bear's got to eat, Mac, okay? He's working hard.
Yeah, there's the great bit in The Edge where I think it's Alec Baldwin. It's one of the two guys is at the river trying to catch a fish, and he's being very, very methodical. And he's hunting, and he's being very methodical. Then he looks up, and the bear is, like, looming over him. And it's like
yeah, that's a good sound.
The bear is hunting him while he's hunting the smaller animal. And but, of course, there's also the ridiculousness of the movie where after our two heroes, spoiler, they kill the bear. Then the very next scene, the bear's pelts, and they've got necklaces made out of the bear's teeth.
Like, they missed a montage somewhere, right? I mean, it really looks like they just came out of, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue. Like, come show us how you did it, but yeah. Yeah, that's good bear action. A lot of bear stuff. So you can go with, I think, some honorable mentions. You got The Bear and The Great Outdoors, right? You got, you ever see the movie The Bear where it was just like a movie following the little bear around. You ever hear of that movie?
Right.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, saw that in the Uptown Theater in Utica. But the bear I want to talk about is the bear that you play as an altered beast. Speaking of,
very good.
Hey, like just bizarre. I mean, your first attack is pretty good, where you jump up and you spin around. But he's got this one attack where he like blows bubbles on people and turns them to stone. I don't understand the bear.
Bear breath.
His bear breath turns people to stone, and then you like.
Let me guess. This is a Japanese game.
It is. It is a Genesis. It is the Genesis launch title. I mean, you want to talk?
Yeah,
about
it was a Genesis launch title.
I mean, do you, I still remember those commercials of the altered beast when he's changing over? You know, he's like, "Whoa, that is next gen." So, so that's. That's right. They got the guy from Princess Bride to voice the. Yeah, five levels of action be done in 20 minutes. That is the next generation. So yeah, so that bear was pretty awesome. Way better than the tiger who sucked. The tiger sucked. Remember him?
The dragon was awesome.
I would just keep turning the dragon if I were him. Yeah, electric. He's electricity and fire. Right. The tiger has a vertical dash move and he throws. Like a knuckleball fireball, pretty much. Pretty much. All right, Daryl, go ahead.
All right, parties you never want to attend.
I've never seen this movie, but I'm going to say Project X. Everything I've heard sounds like a bunch of hoodlums.
Yeah, a bunch of reps
having a hoodlum drug party. The kind of thing I'd want to call the cops on if they were down the street, but I probably wouldn't because I'd be afraid they'd come and do something to my house.
Yeah. Right. I don't think I want to go to have a banquet at the Maharaja's place from Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's no good. That's no good. So
I know there's tons of horror movies where everybody dies at a party, but never like jumping immediately to mind.
Yeah, theoretically, I can't actually think of one off the top of my head. That's
I know.
I mean, the remake of Prom Night kind of is that, but
didn't Jason
the original Prom Night?
Didn't Jason crash a party in Freddy vs. Jason? Didn't he like start? Didn't wipe
oh,
out
that's right. They're having a big party out in the cornfield.
Yeah. Yes, I believe he wiped out. He went on a.
Jason showed up and was going to town because it was a fake out. They were making you think that Freddy was going to attack, and then Jason attacked instead.
Nice.
That's such a clever movie.
Such a yeah. Really, really, really ahead of its time. You want that one, Mac? I'll give that to you free charge.
Yeah, that and of course we got to remember Scream 4, with all of its talk about modern horror movies and with the miniature cameras, everything's modern, everything's cutting edge, and the kids go and have their party in the barn in the hayloft because they're modern teenagers.
Yeah, that's true.
And haylofts are where it's at for modern teens.
Exactly.
Ecstasy and haylofts.
That's right. sounds like an exclusive nightclub from a Saved by the Bell episode.
All right. So I've actually got two. My first one is the party that Pauly Shore throws to cap off the Biodome experiment in Biodome. Where everybody's singing and dancing to Tenacious D. The second is Weekend at Bernie's.
All right, yeah, that would be the stink would be a little. Too
yeah, it would be an awful place. I mean, I like the smell of the sea, but you combine that with the smell of Bernie, and it's like 6 days for God's sakes.
Well, it's summer, isn't it? Or is it Labor Day?
I think it's
essentially.
You're
on the beach.
Warm. It's pretty warm.
It's not like it's the middle of January and they can just take them outside
of it. In the meat locker and then pull them out for 20 minutes at a time. I mean, they're hanging out on lounge furniture.
Well, I got a special honorable mention, the little bonfire party in the Lost Boys. That would suck, right? When they got dined upon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eric, you're take us away.
All right, here we go. Finish up with distracting makeup.
Well, to me, that's easy. I'll say anything that Divine was ever in.
I'm going to say Tim Curry in Legend. I know it's pretty epic makeup, but all I kept thinking was, those horns must be so heavy on that guy. That's all I thought about. So. And that makeup must have been so uncomfortable. Like his neck tendons alone, right? I mean, I don't know what they did to do that. What were your feelings on Legend, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
It's been a long time. I liked it when I was younger.
It's but I wonder a lot of great visuals, but man, it's a slow.
It is a slow it is. Movie. All right, that's I. It's been a while for me, but I just remember it being a slog. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. She's a ballerina. Enough already. You know.
I haven't seen it with the alternate soundtrack or the original soundtrack or however that controversy worked itself out, but maybe with the original music it's better. It picks up a little. I don't know. I haven't heard it.
All right. Sorry for the diversion. Who are we?
That's okay. Am I distracting?
Yeah. Who are we on? You, Mac? Is it you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Wait, do I dare bring up James Bond in the clown outfit again?
No, it's always a good one. That's good.
As you know, the perfectly done makeup.
Yeah, while the nuke is ticking. Right.
While the nuke is ticking, yeah.
That's a big one.
I gotta get my makeup right.
Just right. That's valuable time.
And you know, the thing about that movie is Bond's not the only one. At the very beginning of the movie, there's a scene where a British secret agent is escaping from that same circus, and he's wearing the same clown outfit, and he actually busts out kung fu moves with the big clown shoes against his enemies.
Nice.
Nobody ever mentions that part. They always just mention Bond.
That's like the whole clown makeup reminds me of the Arrested Development gag where Job wanted to switch coolers and maybe buy themselves 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Buy us like 10 seconds, right? All right, Eric, go ahead.
All right, I'm me. All right, I recently saw Looper, which is a really great movie.
Yeah.
But Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like with his Bruce Willis face on.
Oh yeah,
just a little tiny bit. Like it's kind of an Uncanny Valley makeup situation where it's like it's really good. It looks like Bruce Willis. You're acting like him, but it's just a little bit distracted. So it's a good movie though.
Yeah, I still have yet to see that. I need to.
Oh really? You should check it out.
Yeah. I got a little bit sick of Bruce Willis bald in science fiction movies. And so it just looked like another one. And then most of everything I've heard about the movie has been positive, so I've intended to see it in spite of that fact.
It's really good, and they take his character down some really dark paths.
So yeah.
It's interesting to see.
I will see it. But it's not. I don't believe it's on Netflix, so that means I have to go rent it, which, you know.
Or you wait, I guess.
2013. You know.
Yeah, what do you rent, quote unquote, rent a video these days?
Right.
Redbox?
Redbox it, that's what it is.
Well, I know the actual answer. I was kind of just
I
was exaggerating a point for the point, you know.
Gotcha, I like it. Well, yeah. And that miscommunicated piece of exaggeration, I guess we'll just wrap this up. So that was it for the Friday Filibuster. Thank you for tuning in. Mac, take us away.
Close the loop.